So, some of you may wonder what happened at the last podcast. Basically, me and Sarah talked about the podcast and about the fact that we were dragging on the what happened and all this stuff for too long, and the whole podcast was about Geek Dinner, and basically nothing constructive was coming out of it. I've kind of convinced Sarah that we should keep it, but we're going to do another podcast. So if you didn't like the last one, this is going to be different.
I think we should just have sort of a part one and part two.
Okay, well, we'll do that then. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay, so, this is
we just need to get on a different topic, because it's just pointless and dragging out forever, you know?
Okay. So, conclusions on the website, for those that are interested.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So, should we talk about the interesting show that we've been watching recently, which has particular interest to us?
Go on then.
I don't even know what channel it's being played on, but it's a show
HBO,
called...
HBO, isn't it? It's FX.
I think it's FX. So it's on cable in the US. So if you have...
It's on subscription cable that you have to pay $99,000 for a week.
Where do you get this stuff from?
You said it's expensive, FX.
No, just cable in general is expensive. Usually you get cable as a package. You get like a whole load of channels, and there's usually about two that you actually want to watch, and then like 80,000 other ones.
But okay,
I
kind of thought that... Like in the UK, right, basically at cable, yeah, and if you want Sky Sports, you got to pay the premium package on top of that. So yeah, if you wanted all Sky Sports and like the movie channels, yeah, it can cost you like £40 a month.
Yeah, that's how cable is in the US.
Okay.
You spend like $50.
But it's not like you get cable and it's
FX,
like 15. Like.
FX isn't like a premium channel. Okay. FX is probably one of those ones where... And like Comedy Central and the Discovery Channel and stuff like that. Like HBO and Showtime, the movie channels, those are the premium packages that cost like the whole bunch extra.
Right, okay.
You know, but FX, Comedy Central, Discovery, and Cartoon Network and stuff.
I kind of thought FX, HBO, and Showtime were all.
I mean, there's a couple different levels. Like basically, you can get your rabbit ears out and you can tune in whatever the fuck you can get, you know, which I used to do for years.
Yeah, analog TV, yeah.
Because I was poor.
Yeah.
And you can generally usually get one of each of the, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS,
yeah.
Fox, and some, well, if you're near Chicago, like UPN or something. And then you get sort of your very basic cable where you get all those channels and they actually come in sort of well, and sort of your public access channels and like nothing terribly good, but at least it's clear. And that might be like $10 a month or something. And that was probably the most I ever had, you know, when I was living on my own. And then you have, like, your next sort of, you know, your different sort of packages of things. And usually what they do is, like, they put in, like, one or two good channels and then about 50 other shit channels that you'll never watch. And
yeah, I mean,
it's really irritating. But anyway, FX...
Well, just one thing. I just wanted to say the UK equivalent. So basically, you've got analog TV, then you've got Freeview, which is free-to-air terrestrial TV, by the box for about £100, less than that, £50. And you can... watch whatever you like. It's about 30 channels. It used to be called ITV Digital. It used to be called On Digital. The Sky, which is satellite, which is like cable, but through a satellite dish. And that's can range from, like, I think £10 a month up to 45, maybe £50 a month if you've got the premium rate channels. And then cable as well, which is, like, the same.
I think the thing here is that the free-to-air stuff is actually, like... Well, the thing is, it's not really free-to-air, because you pay your TV license, don't you? You know?
Yeah, I guess that's what we're looking at, but you got to understand that for the TV license you get TV, radio, and you get web as well. You get a public broadcaster. You don't get those annoying adverts like PBS and NPR and those pledge drives and all that stuff. You get unbiased news, you get neutral news that's just the news, and...
Hmm.
But I'm biased because I'm work for BBC.
There you go.
Anyway, go on FX.
Well, anyway, the show on FX...
Should I play the beginning so everyone can hear
it? No, I don't want to hear Ice Cube rapping anymore.
I think it's really cool, though.
No. I don't... You're fucking playing it! Don't... Shut it off!
It's okay.
No.
My name is Bruno, and I became a black person.
I became a black person.
No one knew that I was actually black when I had my...
Okay.
Okay. We don't need to... I thought you were going to play the Ice Cube rap.
I was trying to,
well,
but...
don't. the show is called Black White, and basically what they've done is they've taken a white family, well, it's two parents and a daughter, and then they've taken a black family, parents and a son, and they've put them all together in the same house, and it sounds like the real world all of a sudden. In the same house, people are thinking, stop whatever and get
that
real.
That real world sucked, man. Anyway.
Okay, we don't talk about real world. But what they've done is they've basically made them up to look like the other race. And they're not in the makeup all the time, you know, just sort of when they go out or they have some kind of thing they want to try. And it's one of those things, like, you never know how real reality television is. But what they're doing is they're going out and they're trying to experience what it's like to be the opposite race and obviously try to learn about each other and blah, 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 and all this kind of, you know, airy-fairy, nice, and let's mend the rift kind of thing. And this is of particular interest to us because if you don't know us, Ian is black and I'm white. And
I'm not African-American.
Don't call him African-American,
okay,
for fuck's
sake.
Okay,
simple as that. I ain't no African-American. Don't you dare.
That's the funny thing is, like, how ethnicity has gotten confused with race in the United States, where you're not allowed to say that somebody's black. You have to say they're African American, even though they might be not, and they might be, you know, Caribbean or something else. And then you get people saying, "Well, aren't they all from Africa? Like, if you go back far enough." And I'm like, "Well, aren't we all from Africa if you go back far enough? You know, I don't know. It's just." But anyway, that's, you can have your thoughts on that. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a black white. I feel like black and white because after the video game. Anyway, so basically, it's on FX. They're on like episode 5 now. It's episode 6 now, actually. Probably if we download it soon.
Do we have we watched episode 5?
Yeah,
we
watched that. Yeah, okay. Watched it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting. Sarah says, "How much of it is real? I don't know, but."
Like, they must have found, like, the dumbest white people they could possibly find, as far as I could tell. I mean, the daughter's
fine.
The daughter seems okay.
The daughter's the one that's getting the most out of it. The daughter is white, and she's basically dressed up as, you know, a black girl. And, you know, to be fair, when she puts on her makeup and her hair and, again, her clothes are not quite right, but...
She's got that big old smile, you know?
Yeah, and this,
she's like a dental commercial.
Yeah, but actually, you know, she does look kind of black, you know? Mm. But what she quickly realizes is that she can have the makeup on, she can have the clothes, she can have the lingo, but she doesn't quite fit. Yeah, because she hasn't got the background, she hasn't got the knowledge, it isn't always there, and she kind of quickly identified that. So she's been going to this poet class, which is kind of a bit, it's a bit like the, this is what I was going to say to you about the white thing as well, is that, you know, not all black people rap and can do poems, you know, it's not, that's a stereotype.
Well,
but she's going to that anyway, and it's interesting.
It's funny because the show, I think, perpetuates stereotypes as much as anything else.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, okay, well, the last episode, the black woman wanted to, like, make some white friends. And it was just, like, the kind of things that she decided to do to make white friends were just absolutely ridiculous, as far as I could tell. She went to a knitting class. She went to a scrapbooking class. What else did she do? I was like, she went line dancing or something.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at it going, what? You know? I'm like, do the things that you like to do. You know? It's, I don't understand why you would. And she's like, why are, you know, they're so old and boring. Oh, she went to Bible study or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. And yeah, she went to Bible study, she forgot to bring her Bible.
yeah, that was.
And they were like, looking at her like,
why are you going to study the Bible without having the Bible?
Yeah.
But, yeah, the whole thing was just, it was just like, why would you choose those activities as representative of, you know, white people? I just thought it was really silly, you know? I don't know what she was trying to prove. It was like, white people are boring. Mm-hmm. All right, fine, you know? Those ones, yeah, they are particularly boring. I'm like, you know, like, I wouldn't go to knitting class or scrapbooking class or Bible study. You know, it's like, I don't see what, okay.
Yeah.
Don't see what she was trying to prove there, but.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of, maybe it was like, well, you could take it one way and say, well, you know, her own ignorance kind of thought that that's what white people do, you know? But then also, you know...
Yeah, but for as many times as that woman's gone on about other people being ignorant, you know, those people are ignorant, they're ignorant, you know, just like, and you think knitting class is where you're going to go, you know? It's like, of course you're not going to be able to relate to these people.
But in her defense, though, is that she's probably trying to do things that are things that she just wouldn't go to as a black woman. Yeah, things that are like almost like out of bounds. Like, for example, you know, I personally wouldn't really want to go golfing. You know, I've been golfing, and
yeah, I don't want to go golfing either, though.
I know, but it's like, it's kind of, you know that golfing, or a lot of golf places, you know, they kind of deliberately kind of hold kind of rank, if you know what I mean. It's like, if you were, say for example, if you were black, you want to go to a very dominated black area because you couldn't go there as a white person, you know? Or if you did, it would be a very different experience. So they're looking for extremes because
they
can, because that's the things they, just like, it's all good and well going, like, you know, dress up in makeup and then go into your local supermarket. It's like, what's the point? You know, you want to go somewhere where, you know, where all the rich white people go, you know, where if there was a black person there, they'd be all like, you know, the club has gone down this year or something like that, you know. Mm. So, okay. It's interesting. And it is thought-provoking, but the thing that bugs me the most about it is that although I'm not saying that, you know, racism is any better in the UK, I'm saying that it's very different. It's very different, but it's different because in the UK, we're kind of more, well, the government's more about, you know, come, you know, and bring your differences, and you know, we'll kind of work around it, if you see what I mean, rather than come and become British or become American, you know. And I'm not saying that, oh, the government is the reason why we're different, but you know, things are different here. It's not like, you know, and also it's just America's weird anyway, you know. It is. It's like, you know, you don't see, you could live in a, like that guy, the guy that, she went into this, the black woman that was dressed up as a white woman, went into a bar and she was talking to some guy, and the guy was on about the fact that, what was he saying about black people again? I can't even remember.
Which one, a long-haired guy?
Yeah.
He was saying that, oh, they think it's cool not to do good in school. I don't know. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, all this stuff. Okay, and, you know, he can probably get away with thinking that because I think, personally, he can get away with thinking that because the only kind of black people that he may interact with are in low... Oh, it's Crash. Oh, no, it's not Crash. It looked like it crashed then.
Nope.
Okay, so basically, they're in either low-income jobs, so they're like working in like not McDonald's, but like something like that. They're cleaners, or you know, and so he can think that. And then the people that are kind of that do earn a lot of money are either in another country, not in another country, but in another state somewhere else, like in New York or somewhere up north, or whatever. Or they're on TV, you know, they're like basketball stars, or, you know, so they're kind of out of touch, you know. Where if you live in like somewhere like London, or even in like, if you live in Liverpool, even, geez, you know, you kind of, you can't really get away with like, you know, get in your car and like drive away and like not really interact with people of different races, you know. And that's, and I'm not saying that it's better or it's, yeah, I'm not saying it's better.
Yeah, but I think that's true of a lot of big cities, you know?
Yeah, yeah, but even, see, like, okay, if you live in, like, Newbury or Scunthorpe or something like that, Kendal even, you at some point you've got to come across, you know, a black family or an Asian family. You know, it's more common, and the reason is because population are much closer together. It's simple as that. So you can't really kind of like, you know, kind of hide away. Where in America you can, you know, you've got huge lawns, you've got huge houses, and you live in these kind of little weird...
Yeah, but you can still get away with not knowing your neighbours here.
Yeah, you can, but I don't know, I just think it's just different. It's like,
I
the culture's different. And that has an effect on race, I think.
I kind of think there is a difference between... I mean, and this is just based on my observations. I think black people here are different than black people in the States. I just think they're different.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
And I don't know what it is, if it's that there's... Like, I don't know where I heard this, but we were talking about it being, like, black people here have more of the immigrant mentality, you know? Like how all the different groups that came to America, like the Irish and the Germans, and, like, they all came in sort of waves, you know, beyond, like, the first bunch of people that came, but, you know, after 1800s and 1900s, all the people that are coming in those sort of waves... And they have this sort of thing where they end up, they sort of live together in these little enclaves and speak their own language and do their own stuff for a while. And then they kind of gradually start intermarrying with the rest of the population and kind of doing, you know, and mixing a bit more until they're just like fully fledged, we've been here forever kind of people. And I think that's kind of where black people in Britain are, at least sort of the Caribbean, especially the Caribbean ones. I think because they've come... They came in this sort of big immigrant wave, like in the 60s, and they've already had a generation, and their kids from that generation, like, think of themselves as British, and, you know, well, not, but, you know, they think, okay, I'm you know, Jamaican, or I'm from wherever, but it's more of a, like, I grew up here, I live here, you know, people came here to make a better life from where we were from. Maybe I'm completely off base on that, but that's... That would be completely different from how it is in the States, where I think black people don't sort of have that history, where it's like when they go back historically, they look at it and say, okay, you know, I was brought here and I shouldn't be here and that kind of thing. You know, as like, if you go far back enough, yes, the people from the Caribbean are going to say the same thing. But in the recent history, you know, they've made their own way, you know, across the ocean, and have come and have established communities and have, you know, family and friends and have not integrated completely, but pretty well.
It sounds like it's probably more about, you know...
You can tell me I'm talking a load of bollocks.
Well, it would be the first time you're off base on anything, darling. But
there's a difference, and I'm trying to find a way to explain it, and that's one of the things I can think of that might explain it.
I think basically, you know, time, you know, the fact that, you know, slavery was abolished a lot earlier in the UK than in the States, and the fact that a lot of people did come over from different countries, you know, looking for other prospects, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, it's mainly economic opportunities.
Yeah, economic opportunities in UK, you know, not of the, so it's not like, oh, they wanted to come, but it's because they knew that they could probably get have a better life.
Yeah, so they made that choice.
Yeah, but it's not like, it's kind of, oh, it's totally their choice. It's like, when my mum and dad saying, look, you know, come back, go make some money and come back, you know.
Yeah, but it's whatever. Completely different than being, like, you know, forced onto a ship and made to work for no money, you know, somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's completely different.
But okay, but what I'm saying is that I think there's many social things that make it different, and I don't think it's... I'm not saying it's all down to space, or it's all down to cars, or it's all down to slavery, or something. I'm saying that it's like so many little aspects of these things make up the weirdness that happens in America, and the kind of reasonably kind of stillness in the UK. I'm not saying, I'm definitely not saying that racism is better here than it is in America. I'm just saying that, you know, it's different, you know, and, you know, maybe what, cause what I've seen is that the racism that, that black people used to get, is now kind of more reserved for, like, kind of Asians, you know. And I mean, like...
the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, that's what it is. It's that, you know, white people used to hate the black people, and now the black people and the white people hate the Asians, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't hate anybody. Like, you know,
it's no, not, neither do I, but I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's like, you know, so it's kind of almost seen as like, oh, well... I mean, maybe if you... I don't know. I don't talk to these kind of people, but, you know, maybe... some kind of harsh racist or some Middle England kind of wannabe kind of, you know, hidden away in their little palace or whatever and keep Britain white or whatever the fuck they're talking about, you know, kind of would tolerate kind of a black person more than, you know, a kind of an Asian person, which is like ridiculous because, you know, but in their head, that point makes more sense. I don't know.
Well, like, if you look at the things that people are having problems, like the kind of the hot button issues right now, as far as religion, you know, and like treatment of women and things like that, whites and blacks are a lot closer together as far as like religion goes. I mean, as far as, you know, most of the black people and most of the white people here tend to be Christian of some denomination, whether it's Catholic or Protestant or, you know, whatever. But when it's like, so they fit together better as far as that. And, like, if you think about, okay, like, all the religious dress kind of things that people are having problems with, like, you know, I think in the state-run schools, that would be public schools for Americans, but in the state-run schools, you know, they're saying, oh, you must wear a uniform, and they're saying, no, I want to wear my, you know, religious headscarf and things like that. And you've got... where they're challenging the status quo, black people aren't challenging sort of the status quo.
Well, it's not maybe it doesn't feel as so extreme as...
It's not as extreme as what's happening with other groups of people. So, you know, so I think maybe black people just fit better.
Maybe. I mean, also, just on the kind of differences between America and Europe, or the UK specifically... the difference in press is like, and that probably has a major effect on race, you know? You know what the state of play is in America when it comes to press.
What?
You know, it's just ridiculous. And so, you know, that has a bearing. And so when people see, you know, black people in America that are either really successful, like basketball players or whatever, or they're, and they're, yeah, and that's the thing, they're also kind of, basketball players, sports kind of people, or they're like being cuffed to you know, a pole somewhere, you know, for like narcotics violations or whatever, you know. So it's like very much extreme. Where I don't know, I mean, from the black soaps I've seen in America, you know, in the Cosby Show, and that's so extreme. And then, whatever, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I can't put my finger on anything, you know.
Well, all you know is sort of the impression you get. So what's your impression of...
Well, you know, we talk about this many times. It's like, you know, if I was black, kind of growing up in America... the pressure to be, like, you know, involved in, like, you know, that kind of, like, I'm not going to say hip-hop culture, because it's not purely hip-hop culture, it's, like, that kind of, like, more kind of commercial hip-hop culture, you know, where, like, it's about basically getting money and recording music and blah, blah, to, like, you know, and, like, looking a certain way and, like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. And,
but that pressure is here as well, though, isn't
but
it?
It's not so extreme. Mm. It isn't so extreme, I don't feel. You know, I don't know why it isn't, but it isn't so extreme. Maybe that's just the way America is. It's just much more extreme than it is here. You know, generally about a lot of things. You know?
I don't know. I mean, I think that it seems like white people and black people live more separate lives in the States. Like, you know, they both stay away from each other, kind of with mutual sort of, yeah, you keep to yourself and I'll keep to myself.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that doesn't work for me, really.
But that's the thing, you can't do that here.
I mean,
you have to be really, I mean, you've got to be so fucking rich to do that here. And even if you did, you're still going to come across, I mean, you literally got to be living in, like, in Middle England somewhere, in some castle somewhere, to cut off from anybody. And there isn't enough land to do that. You know what I mean?
I guess.
You know?
Well, like, okay, take my hometown. I mean, what was your impression of my hometown?
Scary.
But why?
Because it's just like, you know, all the black people live here, everyone else, all the white people live there. You know, and it was like, that's just the way it is. And that's just weird. You know, and all the black people are like, you know, kind of don't have much money and live in these kind of dodgy little houses and, you know, and it's just, jeez, not good.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess because all the successful black people had probably left town and, like, went and lived in, like, Georgia somewhere in their rich mansions, you know?
I don't know if they went to Georgia.
With all the other black people. And it's just like, you know,
well, it was kind of like, you know, when we watched that sort of documentary about Atlanta and how it was separated by race and class. You had, like, four distinct kind of, you know, rich black people live here, poor black people live here, rich white people live here, and poor white people live here. And I mean, God, where the hell would we have fit there? We wouldn't have been able to live anywhere, you know? I mean, because, I mean,
I'm rich and you're poor.
No. Because, I mean, we're not well off, but, you know, we're not, like, dirt poor.
Yeah. I mean, I know, it's weird. I think America's just personally, I just think it's pretty extreme. One. And it's nice because, like, for example, from a geek point of view, its extremeness in geek culture is pretty cool. You know, San Francisco is a very cool place to be if you're, like, into, like, geek culture and, you know, and they have events and they have it organized and all this stuff, but, you know, it's extreme. And, like, it's just quite interesting because, you know, Ben Metcalf went to San Francisco and, you know, all this stuff, and he reported back and he said, yeah, it's really cool there. But someone else wrote my blog to the entry I wrote and said that it's, because it's so organized, it's so geeky, everybody that's geeky lives there, and it gets a bit kind of, what's the word?
Overkill? I don't know.
Yeah, almost like overkill, you know. It's like living in, like, it's like living in a kind of an area where it's all black people, you know. It gets too kind of, yeah, too samey, too kind of like, you know, there's nothing more, nothing interesting about it anymore. Nothing new happens, nothing.
Well, that's the thing, it's safe, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, safe.
I think that's what it is. It's like people are looking for safety, and they find safety in numbers, you know, and it's the same for the whites and the blacks. They're like, you know, as soon as it gets tipped too far to being equal on either side, then it's like, oh, I don't know, you know.
Well, I guess, I think this is the major point, internet, is that people don't like change, you know, and so they've had, like, you know, the communities have always been a certain way, and then one black family moves in, and then another black family moves in, and then another black family, and then it starts to change. And
but it's kind of like why should anybody care sort of what color anybody is? It's kind of like, it's sort of how they live their lives, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is the whole thing. It's not a simple mathematical question. It's more like a whole facet of things that make up what people think about black people or other races.
Well, you know? I mean, it's experiences with other black people and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and or even like stuff they see on TV or stuff they read or, you know. I mean, it doesn't help in America, let's be honest. It doesn't help that, was it about 15 or 20% of black people, the black men, will end up in prison.
I think it's more than that, actually.
Okay,
it's some ridiculously high percentage. You know, life expectancy for black men in the States is just, it's quite low, I mean, compared to how it should be, you know, basically because they're getting killed.
And exactly, and that's the kind of thing that, okay, you know, you read that and it doesn't help in, you know, kind of, I don't know, it just, it's like, you
if
know.
If I believed everything I read, I never would have married you.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, other people do believe what they read in papers. And, you know, it's like, okay, where do you start? Do you start by dispelling their thoughts about papers, or they start where, like, you know, actually black people are just, you know, are just people, and you should treat everyone like individuals, not as a whole class of people.
I think it's just, you know, individuals, and, you know, it's like treat people, you know, like any other person until you're proven otherwise, really, you know.
Yeah,
and it's like people haven't done anything to sort of, you know, but I have to say, you know, it's like, if a group of boys, you know, under the age of, let's say, 20...
You're going to come up with some racist comment, aren't you?
No, I'm going to come up with some sexist comment.
Okay.
If a group of boys, like, under the age of 20, oh, sexist and ageist, are walking around and, you know, and just being sort of generally loud and obnoxious the way boys of that age are, it doesn't matter which color they are. I'm scared to death of them. I'm like, oh, God, you know. You know, I was like, what kind of shit are they going to be starting, you know? You know, like, when I used to work in the library in Bromley, and they used to have, like, fights in the high street in the middle of the day on a Saturday, when they it's so crowded in the high street.
Because it's Bromley,
and
man.
And they got freaking nunchucks and stuff. I know, they need to come down to Woolwich, where, like, the kids are hard, you know, and they wouldn't put up with that shit.
Yeah, you know? And that's the thing. You honestly, if they tried that here, they would get beaten up.
That's the funny thing, is that, like, you know what Mike was saying as well. Like, we live in a worse neighborhood than we did before. And this is not a racist comment.
Mm-hmm.
Racially, it's more balanced than it was where we used to live. I don't know if it's even black and white, or maybe it's a little bit more black than it is white. I'm not really sure, but it's probably about even, I would say. And where we used to live, it was really mostly white. But I actually feel safer in this area than I do where we used to live. And I think it's because people tend to... It's like, they're not going to start some shit with you unless you start some shit with them. You know, because people don't have time for that crap. You know? And people are a little bit... It's like, they're not some rich kind of spoiled brats. Kind of, you know, I must spend my day going around, like, you know, pretending I'm in a gang. I grew up with people like that. You know, I grew up with people that, you know, you went to freaking Catholic school and they were, you know, trying to be little gangbangers and stuff. And I think people here just don't sort of have time for that. You know? I don't know.
It's partly, you know, like, I mean, I don't know, it's, you know, would you, if you're a robber, would you rob someone in Woolwich, or would you rob someone in Kensington?
Kensington, because they're likely to have a lot more on them.
Yeah.
Nobody here has shit, you know, nobody's got any money around here.
You know, and so you kind of like, but then, I mean, there's a lot of theories. I mean, like, for example, I think Miles says, like, about Lewog, about the fact that, a lot of crime happens where there's a big road. So it's not like a big, like, just road, but like for example, the A20 comes past us, doesn't it?
Mm.
So a lot of kind of crime happens where you can kind of bust into London and then bust back out again almost really quickly. So, like, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
So, for example, Woolwich, Charlton would be a good place to, like, set up shop. Greenwich, because it's around A20, you know. Places around M25 would be a good place as well, because you can just bust in, bust out again. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but what I find interesting about Black and White, back to Black and White, is the whole black family dealing with the black son issue.
Oh, yeah, that is quite interesting, isn't it? Because he sort of claims that he doesn't see racism, and that he doesn't think people are racist, and that he doesn't think racism's a problem. And his parents are like, oh, yes, it is, you know, and, like, trying to get him to see it and, you know, and acknowledge it. And he's sort of not. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's your take on that, darling?
Well, basically, you know, he's 19 years
old. No, he's young. He's like 16.
Yeah, 16. He kicked out of school three times, I think.
He's expelled permanently now, or something.
He's now permanently expelled from school. And he's not like a ruffian, he's just, I don't know, I think he's one of these kind of, I hate to say it, but there are people in this world that do just like follow what other people do, or like do what people say, or like bit sheepish, you know, if that's...
He just follows the crowd and doesn't really stand up for himself. He doesn't really have any real opinions, is the thing.
Yeah, so he kind of like, you know... Like, okay, there's a scene where basically he was with the white girl, I can't remember her name now, but
Rose,
yeah. And he went into a store and he just bought this $150 watch. Yeah, he's 16 years old, $150, and good on the parents. They were like, he bought his watch back and he's wearing it, and I can't remember why, but somehow they found out, and oh my life, the mum went nuts. She laid into him. Oh my god, and she.
What job do you have? Yeah, that was so funny.
You know, what job do you have where you need to have a $150 watch? You know, and she just laid out the truth to him. You know, and basically she just said, look, you know, you're just stupid. Why do you need this? What, you didn't even think about it. You didn't even think about what you're doing. You've been influenced by, you know, by, like, commercial hip-hop culture. And you didn't even see it. You do not even see what's going on. You know, you wear your baggy pants and you didn't even see how people look at you. You know, you're so ignorant to the world, you know, around you. You didn't realise what kind of effect you have. And so, yeah, yeah, he had to bring the watch back, and my dad brought back a watch with him, and yeah, he kind of felt good. But it was like, yeah, the dad was like, you know, all this time I've been like trying to teach like this white cult, you know, this kind of white family about, you know, racism, you know, from a black point of view, and who I really should be talking to is my son, because he's just not seeing it, you know. Oh, the other thing about it was that, you know, these kids started using the N negative words, you know, over, you know, on him. It wasn't like he's, because they found out that he was black. Yeah, he told them, and then they kind of talked about race and like
one of the girls, I don't know, I think one of the kids like said the N word, but not to him and not at him, but yeah, just like. Like, he was playing, like, oh, you know, like, he was, I don't know, he's pretending he was some rapper or something, I don't know. And one of the white girls in the group just said, don't use that word, that makes me really uncomfortable. And they said to him, well, does it make you uncomfortable? And he's like, nah, you can use it, I don't care. And the girl's like, well, I really wish you wouldn't, because it really makes me uncomfortable. And they just kind of kept using it. And then when the black parents found out about it, they were like, you let them say what in front of you and you didn't say anything, and oh my god. And he's like, well, it doesn't bother me. They're like, there are just some words that don't need to be used and you need to tell them that. And oh god, those kids looked so scared when they met the parents, and the parents were like, okay, which of you said the N-word, you know? I mean, I don't know. I have to agree on, you know, with the girl in that perspective, even though she seemed like a little flaky. She was like this little flaky girl, you know. I have to say, that word does make me incredibly uncomfortable. Like, mm. I don't like the word. Do you remember when you tried to get me to say it? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Before we got married.
Well, I mean,
that was so weird.
I think the point that she was making, the mum was making, is that, you know, some words are too powerful for you to just roll off like that. And, you know, there are times when, you know, maybe it's kind of, you know, in the right kind of crowd and when everyone understands, everyone's on a certain level, then maybe you can use it in a certain context. But, you know, that word's far too powerful for these kids. Far too powerful. And so, you know, when I was getting you to say it, it's because I was trying, like...
You were just trying to wind me up.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we're not, like, blatantly winding you up. It's like, it's a bit, like... I don't know. It's hard because, you know, that word, you know, I mean, I've personally tried to, like, you know, when people do say that word, then I will, you know, I'll feel like, well, I mean, like, it was actually very good. It was a very good scene where the let's not talk about Bruno, but, you know,
Bruno is such an idiot.
Bruno is the white father, and he used that word, and the black couple afterwards were like, he likes using that word. Why is he like using that word? Why does he want someone to call him out on that? Why is he so obsessed with that word? And like, so I personally tried to, like, you know, but they also felt like when they heard that word, their like back was kind of like a bit tense, and they felt like a bit, you know, whoa, did he just say that word? You know, what the fuck is he on about? What, you know, who the fuck do you think he is? And I feel like that when people say that, but I kind of like, kind of, I'm not going to jump on them, but I'll say, look, you know,
there's no cause for that.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry, but you just, you know, you can't be using that word. That's, you know, fucking rude, pretty much, you know, and that is not acceptable, and, you know, it's wrong.
So why totally were you trying wrong. To get me to say it then? You just thought it was funny because I couldn't actually get it to come out of my mouth.
Because you need to be like, because when someone says it to you, then you need to know, you know, you need to be able to, like, I don't know, it's that you need to hear it.
Well, all I need to do is turn on Chris Rock and I can hear it about a billion times, can't I?
Yeah, but it's different. It's different when,
I know.
When, you know, you kind of always need to, it's like you need to hear yourself say it. You need to, basically, you need to confront your own racism.
Eh?
You need to confront your own racism, simple as that. You do. But you, personally.
So, that's what I'm saying to you. Why were you trying to get me to say it?
Because, you know, it's kind of like, you need to hear it from yourself. You need to, like, feel what it feels like when you say it, and when you hear someone else say it.
I know how it feels when somebody else says it, because somebody said it. You know?
Yeah.
Probably, I think the weirdest thing about being in a mixed couple is that if you've got no experience with racism, you know, as far as it being directed at you or anybody that you care about, it is a shock the first time that happens. It is such a shock. It's a shock I am thankful I will never have to go through again, because I think the first time is always going to be the worst. It must be. No,
it's different. It's different. I suppose.
Well, you know, and I worry about that too. Like when we have kids, if that's going to be, you know, what that's going to be like. Because I think it's hard enough going through, you know, racism directed at you. But like I'm trying to imagine it like directed at a child, you know, which I, you know, experienced a little of that peripherally, as far as, you know, with Allie, but. Anyway, what was I going to say?
I'm not sure.
No, I was just... I mean, because I think... The thing about this show is, like, I think it's very difficult for them to really experience what racism is like just by putting on the makeup, you know? And I don't know. And I think almost sometimes, like, the best way, well, the best way, I almost think that an experience of having, it's not just about sort of becoming another race, but it's about connecting with people of a different race. And, like, once you've connected to a person and you see them as a person and you begin to care about them, then when you see racism directed at them, like, that's probably almost the only way that I think a white person is going to be able to experience that. You know? Like, I think the experience is more real. If I'm there and somebody is being racist toward you, that is going to be a far more affecting experience than if I go put on black makeup.
And yeah, but no, because then what about when someone's racist to you?
Because I'm white.
Yeah.
Mm.
You just happen to haven't experienced that enough times. That's all it is right now.
I don't know if I've experienced, really.
Okay, well, you haven't experienced it then yet, but it's when, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know, it's like, you know, when Bruno was dressed up black and she was white, was she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Bruno the white guy was dressed up in black makeup and...
Oh, and he took his wife and...
Yeah, and they went to, like, some kind of predominantly black area and they went into some square where it definitely seemed like it was...
People were really hostile to them because...
Yeah, it was kind of Black Panther kind of territory, almost.
Well, like, he was a black man and he was with a white woman and they were all pissed off about it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like, you don't want to sort of look for it, but I do look for it a little bit. Like, you know, it's like kind of... But the thing is, it's like, it seems like in London people don't really look twice at us. When it's happened in the States, really.
That's because that's the States.
That's when it's happened, when we get the kind of, you know, a little bit of a double take, but, you know, I don't think it's too bad. I don't know what you think about that.
I just think the States is a crazy place. honestly, I really think that everything's just so extreme, and so when you do get racism, it's pretty extreme. I'm like, I remember when we walked into that, wherever it was, in
Kentucky Fried Chicken in, like, central Illinois.
Yeah, just like...
Y'all ain't from around here.
You know, and it was like, you know, geez, I don't want to be here. I really don't want to be here, you know? Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'm going to be, like, told to leave.
Or what about when you went into the Taco Bell, like, in Racine, and that girl was like, "What's up, dog?" And you're just like,
Can I
have a taco, please?
Oh, jeez.
It was like...
This was white so girl...
funny.
This white girl comes... She's at the counter, right? And she's like, you know, "What's up? Do you want to..." I didn't know what she said. I didn't understand what she said. I was like, "Excuse me? What?" You know? Can you speak English to me? Because I don't understand what you're saying, you know?
Oh, that was...
And it's just like...
That was classic. Oh, and I think
she looked at me like, you know...
Like, "I thought you were black. I don't understand."
Yeah, and actually, that's the thing. That could be almost quite as racist as like... And it's not like she knows... She's not like she's deliberately being racist. It's just that she assumes that because I'm black, then I speak a certain way. I dress a certain way. I... act a certain way. I am a certain way.
So you understand what the hell she's talking about.
And so it's really weird. What I love a little bit when I go to America, I'm gonna probably do it more when I get to May, is like, I love playing a little bit with the black people because they kind of assume that I'm a certain way, and like when I come up with a British accent, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to deal with it. They're like, okay, so you're black, but you're from England, and so you speak with a kind of posh kind of accent, but so you don't talk Ebonics, but you understand what I'm saying. But it's like a double take. You're like, what? And it's good because it basically it messes with what their thinking is of black. So, and it's good. I'm not saying that. Black people are as bad as the white people in America. I'm just saying the culture is really weird, where everything's quite extreme, and so people think a certain way. And I'm not saying that it's deliberately because they're racist or anything. I'm saying that media portrays them a certain way, and other aspects, I think travel and stuff like that, has an effect on that. And so, when you do get like a kind of, you got to be kind of a playful person. I kind of not relish, but I would, if we did move to America, I'd probably get pissed off after a while.
You'd probably just fuck with people for about the first month. I would be like, yeah. Can we go back now?
I'd be like, oh my god, So I'm gonna walk into this white bar, and I'm gonna like talk to all these kind of these people, and I'm gonna like screw with them because I can, because they think that black people dress a certain way, talk a certain way, and they probably never met a black person from a different country, And so it's like, it's weird. It's weird. It's like, if you ever meet someone that's, kind of African black that lives in France, very different from someone that's black here, because it's a different country. It's a different culture, and it's kind of weird. It's kind of hearing like a French accent from someone that's black, and it's not like African French. It's actually proper French, and so it's kind of funny. And like, if I can speak French, I would do it, because I would. Oh,
I thought you can speak.
Yeah, French. But no, I can't speak it fluently enough to like
to pass
to like, because that would just screw them up, man. Because they'd have to like basically you're forcing the person to have to deal with it right there and then.
Well, deal with their own stereotypes.
It's like imagine a black. A French black person went to Quebec and started talking French. What would they say?
I don't know. I don't think French Canadians like anybody. So
okay, they may kind of go, "Oh, what? Well, this person's black and they're talking French to us."
Well, it's not even proper French they speak there or something. I mean, some kind of, like, dialect.
Yeah, so that's even screws up even more, because it's actually real French. It's not like that wishy-washy Canadian Quebec rubbish.
Quebec.
It's proper, it's like someone's Spanish coming from Spain and talking to someone that's Spanish in America. Yeah, mm-hmm. Not Spanish, but, like, from, like, Central America.
Mexico.
Yeah. It's kind of like, well, you're talking like very differently from me. It's just different culture, and it's like a bit of a clash, It's funny. It depends on who you get. You either get people that are like, this is really weird, you're talking the same language as me, but you're talking very differently. It's a bit, it's quite funny. It's actually quite like, when Rose went to poetry class, and they all went around the table and went like, "Oh, so who's your influence?" And a lot of the guys were like, "Oh, such and such," and the girls like such and such, and Rose just like the Cranberries, and people were like,
"Eh,
the Cranberries? Who the fuck are the Cranberries?" Because I don't know who the Cranberries are.
I know who the Cranberries are.
Right. I don't know who the fuck the Cranberries are. And they were probably like, "Okay, she's black. She's coming in with a laptop, right? She's reading her poem from a laptop instead of paper, or even like just reciting it from heart. And she's doing like Cranberries. She's just kind of weird, mm-hmm. She isn't quite fit,
Mm-hmm.
But
do you find you get some of that, like being black and being geeky?
Yeah, I mean, somewhat. You know, somewhat. I mean, but then, I don't know, it kind of, it. I'm the kind of person that likes to, I kind of thrive on, like, screwing with people a little bit. You know, I kind of, I mean, like...
You got out of your way to be different, so...
Not out of my way, but I do like to, like... When I see, like, someone's a little bit confused, I, like, stick the kind of... the knife in there a little bit more, you know. Not that I'm condoning the use of, like, stabbing people or whatever. I'm saying that. I like to...
What?
That's what knives is, though. So, basically...
No, that's a metaphor.
Yeah, basically, I like to, like... force people to, like, deal with some of the things that they have to. It's like, okay, I've been talking to this guy at work, and he's, I can't what religion is now, Muslim. And so he has very kind of strict beliefs. And I've been, I've been kind of opening his mind up to the fact that, you know, advertising influences, and there are people that can influence, and people can con you by influence you, and they can kind of feel like they're related to you by race, and they can still con you and stuff like that, you know, and to be aware of that. And okay, I haven't like shaken his beliefs or anything like that. I'm not that's not the plan. It's the plan is to like basically just make him aware of that. People can use religion or aspects of like culture against you, you know, to get stuff out of you. I mean, it's like the whole. I remember the days when, like, you know, oh, you're a black man, you know, give me some money, you know. It's like, screw you, man, you know. So what? Just because I'm black doesn't mean that I'm gonna give you any money, or I'm gonna give you like a kind of head start on anyone else, you know. You could be funny, like, I don't know what to
do. Like, when do people do that?
It's like, I don't know, it just happens. Hmm. You know, oh, yeah, we're black, man, we're black. You know, we got, sort me out. It's like, excuse me, you know, yeah, I see we're black, but, you know, I'm not going to go into here and sort you out, you know. It's like, that's worth more than my job or whatever, you know. Yeah, but, you know, I don't know you from Jack, you know. I don't know you from Jack. Just because we happen to have, you know, or from the same background or whatever, or grew up in the same area or whatever, doesn't mean that I'm going to sort you out with anything, you know.
You're talking about when you're working in the cinema or what?
Oh, yeah, stuff like that.
Okay. I think we've gone nearly an hour on this.
Okay.
I'm tired.
I know you are. You should go to bed.
Oh, I will.
I need to do some CSS designs for my new hosting.
Okay. That wine made me sleepy. Okay, so that was our, like, nearly 2 hour long podcast, parts 1 and 2.
Yep.
Yeah, and our theme music was Terry and June, provided by Adam and Helen, who insisted that we must have that for our